John 19, 28, 29, and 30. It says, Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. I'm on the wrong chapter. Let me jump over across the page. I didn't move my ribbon, that's why. Oh. All right, here we go. The death of Jesus. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. All right, so the end of Jesus' life is nearing. It's coming to an end. And it's interesting, John uses this word, and I won't try to pronounce it, but this Greek word, and the meaning behind the word isn't just, it's ended, it's finished, or complete, but rather it's coming to an intended end, or it's coming to the intended goal. And obviously John, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, chose that word on purpose because it wasn't just that Jesus died. And yes, he did, and we don't want to take anything away from that, but his death was what? It was the intended goal. It was the intended end. It was what he came to this earth to do. And we often around, there used to be Christmas cantatas that we would sing, Jesus came to die. And so at Christmas we'd sing about his birth, but the point of the Christmas message and story was what? That he came to die. He came to be that ultimate sacrifice. He came to give his life a ransom for many. And so John's using this, reminding his readers, and again in Greek or in English we lose some of the meaning, but the Greeks and the Jews that he was writing to would have understood the point that he was getting at. That Jesus was now fulfilling the purpose for what he had come to do. And again, one of the big themes that we have seen in John as we've come through this is Jesus' point of making sure that everyone knows what? Right, that he came to do the will of his Father. And the will of his Father was that he would be this sacrifice, that he would die. And so John, again, is reminding them and using this, again, as a word picture to show them that his purpose for coming to do the will of the Father is now ending. It's coming to a close. And within the space of the verses 28, 29, and 30, we see this word or a form of the root word used three times, as opposed to only six other times in the whole rest of the book of John, two of which are in chapter 17. And so, John's very on purpose in using this. And so Christ is now on the cross, as he said he would be. And the disciples fought against that. And, Jesus said, I'm going to be crucified, and they're going to lift up the Son of Man. They're going to do these things to me. And the disciples argued against that. No, Jesus, that's not going to happen, and that can't happen. And how is that going to fit in our thought process and what we think should happen? But now here he is on the cross. And again, we've got to understand that even though the disciples weren't tracking and they didn't understand, Jesus understood what was happening. He understood the implication of being on the cross. When we looked a couple chapters ago where Jesus did what? He was praying in the garden. He said, "Father, let this cup pass from me." But then he said, "But not my will, yours be done." So we understand the anguish that Christ was going through. We understand the humanity of him not wanting to suffer the wrath of God and the pain and all that took place on that cross. And yet he was still willing to do that. He was still willing to go through with the will of the Father and go through the purpose for which he had come and not abandon that and walk away from it. So now we see the conclusion. We're wrapping up. John's wrapping up here the life of God's agent here on this earth, his Son that came to this earth. So it says now that Jesus said, to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." So we have got to really think of two things here. One, what scripture was he referring to? And then two, what was the fulfillment referring to as well? All right. So can anyone think of a scripture that he was referring to? And we said a couple weeks ago, we said that John brings to our attention, you know, as it is written, as it is written, these things are being fulfilled because it was written. So John's trying to emphasize and bring forward the Old Testament and to show us, show his readers that this is all in fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. Some of them are a little easier than others. So does anyone, can anybody think of a specific scripture here? Okay. All right. And again, yeah, and that's great. Well, there's three or four references in the Psalms. It doesn't specifically point it to Jesus or reference Christ as some of the other ones did. But if we go back there, Psalm, you said 69, the throat is parched. Did you say 69 or 63? 69. You know, it talks about the throat is parched. Psalm 63, he's given the vinegar. Both of them. You know, Psalm 22 talks about the dehydrated state of a victim. His strength is dried up like broken potsherd. His tongue sticks to the roof of his mouth. So, you know, do we know specifically which verse, you know, John was referring to? No. You know, we can't go back to something specific because John wasn't quoting it word for word. But it's evident that he was referring back to the Psalms. And bringing that forward. And we know that John definitely believed that it was a fulfillment of Scripture, you know, because otherwise he wouldn't have said as it was written or as it is written. So John firmly believed that the Old Testament was prophesying this concerning Christ. So he's using that as a means to clarify that or to solidify that. And so in John, this drink offered to Jesus is this cheap wine vinegar mix. Again, as it was prophesied in Psalms, it wasn't, obviously, it's mixed with vinegar. It probably didn't taste very good at all. It was like the cheap man's, the cheap version for the poor man kind of thing. And so, just to wrap that up, there's no specific scripture saying that Christ would say, I thirst. But again, but from Psalms, it seems very evident that was in reference to him. And then also, there's some argument on what prophecy was being fulfilled here. And I won't get into it with you because some of them are kind of muddy over there, the other side of the argument. But the fulfillment that, or the prophecy that was fulfilled was Jesus saying, I thirst. You know, that he was thirsty. And he was going through that. So we'll kind of wrap up there. We'll start with verse 30 next week with it is finished. And try to wrap up verses the rest of verse 30. But thank you for participating this morning and for sharing about your dads. And I know for some it's more difficult than others, but I appreciate you. We have some young fathers in here and fathers-to-be. And so all of those things, I hope. You know, I would always listen when people talked about their dads and, you know, figure out, okay, what do I need to do be better as a father? How can I, you know, take that more seriously? So I trust that you will too. And those of you with grown children or whatever, you know, be looking for younger men to speak into their lives and to help them as well. Father, I pray that you'd bless us now as we dismiss, use us to further your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.